Thanks, Margaret. Well, keep your Bibles open there at Matthew chapter 6. My name's Matt. I'm the pastor at Southern Cross Kinalabar, if we haven't met before. So it's the end of May, but with today's topic, it might feel for us like a little bit like early September. Today we're focusing on the person and character of God the Father. What does it mean when we say that we believe in God the Father? Or when we address God in prayer as our Heavenly Father? When we refer to God as Father, are we acknowledging His relationship within the Trinity as God the Father of Jesus, God the Son? Or do we mean that He's the Father of all as the Creator of all? Well, in some sense, both are true. But God, the Father of all? Is that what Jesus taught here in Matthew chapter 6 as He taught us to pray to our Father in heaven? I'm sure that among all of us listening today, there are many different experiences and varied feelings about fathers. Some, sadly, are very negative. I recently heard that some churches, tragically, are even moving away from referring to God as Father because the idea of fathers raises such negative emotions for so many people. With that said, this preaching series is called The Good News We Almost Forgot, and the title of the talk today is Your Father is God. If God is our Father, then how is that good news that we don't want to forget? Well, let me pray now as we consider all of these things and look into God's word for wisdom. Would you pray with me? Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we pray that You would give us wisdom this morning as we think about Your nature as God, our Father. Help us, Lord, to set aside any ideas that we get about fatherhood from the world. But rather, Lord, help us to be shaped by Your word as You define who we are for our good and for Your glory. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this might sound a little uncomfortable or awkward, but I want to tell you something that happened 25 years ago, almost 25 years ago, when Sue and I were on our honeymoon. We were staying at a holiday resort, privately enjoying a relaxing spa. It was one of those big spas by the pool. And a young boy approached and sat down in the spa beside us. We chatted for a few minutes with this boy, and I expected he was going to get bored and run off. But then another kid comes and hops in, and another, and another. And I don't know how many kids ended up in that spa, but it must have looked like a kids' club. And Sue and I were the leaders. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if that's what all of the parents conveniently chose to believe as we looked after their children. Anyway, we had a great time chatting with these kids. Well, I did. I'm not so sure that it was Sue's idea of a relaxing afternoon on our honeymoon at a holiday resort. But I think it was a pretty special moment for us. We were planning to have children, but to wait a few years, which we did. But as I enjoyed interacting with these kids, it reinforced my desire to become a dad. And by God's grace, I got 4 more kids than I expected, which is 5 more than I deserve. I love my children, and I love being a dad. Am I as good a dad as I had hoped to be? No. I certainly hope that I'm not terrible at it, but I guess it depends on who and when you ask. As I mentioned earlier, for you, the thought of fatherhood might just cause you to want to switch off altogether. You might not like the idea of God being a father. But the reality is that God is a father. It's who he is. It's his nature. God is who God is. He is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Here in Matthew chapter 6, 12 times Jesus calls God Father. More specifically, he says, your Father. And then throughout the rest of the Gospels, he often calls him my Father. So the question you might be asking is, if God is a father, what kind of father is he? Now we have to be careful not to let our experiences of fatherhood from the world define who God is as a father. And I pray that our ideas about fatherhood, and certainly about who God is as a father, will be shaped by his word rather than shaped by our understanding that we gain from the world. God defines fatherhood by his nature. He reveals himself to us in his word. He has always been a father. Obviously, I wasn't always a father. In September 1998, I became a father. And I had to quickly adapt. And I'm still adapting. But God's different. God's different from me, and he's different from every other father in history. He has always been one God, perfectly united as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God has always been a father. He didn't become a father when Jesus was born as a baby in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. Nor did God become a father when he created people in his image in the beginning. Existing before creation, in a perfect, loving relationship as Father, Son, and Spirit, God's love overflowed into creation and specifically into us, humankind. And as he breathed his breath of life into Adam's nostrils, he breathed his very own spirit into him. Having made him in his image, he formed a relationship with him that no other part of creation could enjoy like Adam and Eve could. He created them and all of us to be his children. By his powerful living word and full of his Holy Spirit, he brought us into life, enjoying a father-child relationship with him, and he described it as very good. That's the fatherly nature of God. He made us, cared for us, and provided everything we needed. But then we fell into sin. We rejected God's good rule over our lives as creator and king and father. And as a result, we separated ourselves from him. We lost the right to call him our father. In fact, we became his enemies because of our sin. So even though there's a general sense in which we call God the Father of all, as he is the creator of all, is that the way that Jesus talks about the Father here in Matthew chapter 6? He talked about and prayed to God the Father much more intimately than anyone had ever seen or heard before. This was much more than a general reference to God as creator of all. If we were to look ahead in Matthew's Gospels, we see Jesus uses the term my Father or Abba Father, referring to God in a personal way as his loving, affectionate, perfect dad. No one else had been able to do that, ever. Because Jesus, God the Son, had an eternal relationship with God, his Father, which was still intact. And as a man, he never sinned. He never rejected God.
So he lived on earth as the perfect Son of God, like no one else could. In this chapter, Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he calls God your Father. And Jesus is not suggesting that anyone can call God Father, but he's speaking to those who follow him. Now, you know, when something is repeated a few times, it must be very important. Here in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus reminds us 12 times that God is our Father. Verse 1 and 4, verse 6 twice, verse 8, 9, 14, 15 and 18 twice again, verse 26 and verse 32. Jesus says to his followers, "My Father, the God of the universe, is your Father too." But he's not everyone's father, is he? We lost something so significant at the fall, back in Genesis chapter 3. Because of our sin, we could no longer call him father. We threw his fatherly love back in his face, and the consequence of our sin was death for every one of us. So how can anyone other than Jesus call God our father? Or my father? Astoundingly, Jesus has made a way for us to be restored, renewed as children of God. And he did it by laying down his right as God's perfect son and taking our sin upon himself, paying the price for our sin by his death, and in exchange, giving us his own righteousness, and we receive it by faith. John says, by belief in his name, he gave us the right to become children of God. Only through faith in Jesus can we call God our Father. Only through faith in Jesus have we received the Holy Spirit, our guarantee of adoption as sons and daughters of God for eternity. Through Jesus, we've become permanent children of the living, eternal God of the universe. And as children of God, we now belong to his kingdom, not the world. So everything changes. Our perspective changes. Here in verses 2 to 21, Jesus contrasts our old selves with the new. Those who belong to the world with those who belong to the kingdom of heaven. As children of God, we belong to the kingdom of God. And our lives are very different. In verses 2 to 4, when we don't give in order to be seen by others as generous, announcing it with trumpets, but rather we give like our Father gives, freely, generously, and selflessly. In verses 5 to 15, when we pray, we're talking to our Heavenly Father, who knows us and loves us unconditionally. We have the favour of the God of the universe. We don't need to show off to gain praises from anyone else. In verses 16 to 18, when we fast, we're not meant to make it about us, trying to build our reputation as especially holy or righteous. Rather, it's meant to be about God, focusing our thoughts on him, seeking his will, and meditating on his word. And in verses 19 to 21, as children of God, our perspective on what we invest in changes. From verse 19, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This teaching is about more than what we own or what we do with our time and energy and money, though it does include those things. Verse 21 says, your heart. Your heart is more than just the muscle pumping blood around your body. And it's more than just the way you feel at any given moment. It's about your whole identity. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Your heart, that's you. It's who you are. It's where you belong. If you treasure the world and what it has to offer, then you belong to the world. And everything you get from the world is temporary. It can be stolen or break down, and it will all eventually be gone. Everything from the world is temporary. But if you belong to God, if God is your Father and you treasure His gifts, then you belong with Him. Your heart, yourself, is with Him. And He rewards you in His kingdom, which lasts for eternity. Listen to this from the Apostle Paul in Romans 8, verse 17. If we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. If you hear those words and think, suffering? No thanks. I'll take my chances on my own. I don't want to share in His suffering. If you're thinking that, then you've missed the point of the verse. His glory. God doesn't want us to be His enemies, nor live as His enemies do. He wants us to be His children. And to live as His children, to give up fruitless pursuits of temporary treasures, but rather to share in His glory forever. To share in the riches of His kingdom, to enjoy fellowship with Him, to enjoy something that nothing in the world can even come close to offering. That's the kind of Father we have. One who has given us more than we could ever imagine. One of the results of the fall, which we've all suffered due to mistrusting God's good provision, one of the results is worry. A life without worry. Well, that might sound like a dream to some, but it's the life that we've been given. A life with the God of the universe as our Father, who loves and provides for His children. That's a worry-free life. From verse 25, Jesus said to His followers, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about food or drink or clothes. You are God's children. He knows what you need, and He will provide what you need. We need not worry. God knows what we need better than we do. And He says in verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. By His grace, God our Father provides. So we can share what we have, because God our Father provides. We can stop pursuing what the world pursues, because God our Father provides. We can have much, much less than what we have now and not worry, because God our Father provides. We can give sacrificially, because God our Father provides. Whether we have plenty to share or nothing in the world to our name, as children of God, we need not worry, because God our Father provides. And he's proven it. He gave us Jesus, his precious, perfect, eternal Son. Romans 8:32 says, "He who did not spare his own Son, but graciously gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" Our Father is God. Whatever your view of fathers, however tainted by the sin in your own hearts and the sin in the hearts of those around us, whatever your view is of God, of fathers, God the Father is not like any other father. He has proven his unfailing love for you and for me. If he was going to hold anything back from us, it would have been on that day when Jesus suffered and died for our sin. The day when God made a way for us to become his children for eternity. If he was stingy in any way, we would have seen it on that day. But he gave abundantly. He gave us an immeasurable gift. So why do we worry that he won't give us what we need? Even if we die and leave this temporary dead world, he is our perfect, eternal, loving, heavenly Father. And he will continue to provide for us forever. Let's not forget it. Investing in treasures on earth is not for children of God. Worrying, it's not for children of God. But trusting in our Father, the God of the universe. During this COVID-19 pandemic, these are worrying times for many around the world, and it's a reality. It's happening, and we're all affected by it, and it will continue to affect us for quite some time. It could get much worse. Should we be worried? As Stu mentioned earlier, our leadership team has been working hard to plan and prepare for ever-changing circumstances, and we genuinely care for you, our church family. So we want to ensure that we're being careful to love and support everyone throughout this pandemic and beyond. But should we be worried? No. Because we have a faithful God who has given us everything through Christ our Lord, and he knows our needs, and he will continue to provide not just what we need to survive, but to thrive and grow his family as he provides us with opportunities to share his love with others. I hope you can celebrate with me that our Father is God. Should we drop the name Father for our God? Absolutely not. Having God as our Father is such good news. It's good news that we can't forget, and good news that we shouldn't stop sharing. So let's continue to shift our focus away from twisted, worldly views of fatherhood and celebrate our true, perfect Heavenly Father who knows our needs and has satisfied our greatest need through the gift of his Son, Jesus, who has brought us into a relationship with the greatest dad ever. Let's pray to him now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us this morning. Lord, as you have revealed yourself to us, Father, may our identity be defined by you. By your Holy Spirit, we pray that you will convince us of the truth as we consider your eternal and glorious nature and identity as our Father. And for those of us who struggle with a twisted view of fatherhood because we live in a broken world with broken relationships, we pray that you will help us to recognize your perfect love for us. A love that we may have longed for from someone else or looked for in other places, But your perfect fatherly love can come from no one else, Lord, but you. Father, may our hearts be open to receive your perfect love as our perfect loving Father. Lord God, thank you that we can call you our Father because of your perfect Son, Jesus, who has rescued us from our sin and brought us into your kingdom as your true children. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.